Saturday, everybody. Super excited to be here. You guys are going to laugh at me, but I refused to go outside this morning because I could. I didn't want to go exercise outside, so we did some inside stuff because we typically always go outside. Just setting our views to public so everyone can take a look. And what is Saturday morning dates? What is Saturday date mornings? That is something that Chris and I started doing. We're almost on like our 600th morning date, almost. And it's something we started to do to work on our relationship. It had nothing to do with business. But we started to do this because we got to the point to where we were missing out on each other. And we were missing date nights. We were kind of losing ourselves. And we had worked so hard to kind of get ourselves back. I was at an event, and it was Marcel. Petipa. And you know, he was the one who gave me the idea, and he says he doesn't even have kids. And when I thanked him for it, like a year later, he was like, "Oh my gosh, I've only done it like twice with my girlfriend." We took it to like the next level, and so this is our morning date. We wanted to bring you guys what we do every morning. We typically walk. We have our coffee when we walk. Everybody says, "Oh, are you guys exercising?" No, we're not exercising. We're just going for a walk because for us, the outdoors is our church. Like, we're not super religious when it comes to organized religion. And so we walk outside. We walk with our coffee. It's intentional. We try to do it every day. No, we don't do it every day. And that's what this is. It's just raw, real conversation about kids, life, marriage, business. When you own a business, there's no separation at all. So stop trying to separate it. And so that's what morning date is. And just, you bring your questions. We don't plan it. It's just like, "Hey, how was your week?" My week kind of sucked, Chris. I'm not going to lie. It kind of sucked. It did. We got these great little sleeves. I feel boss right now. It's like next level boss. So we are moving the morning because I spread myself too thin, guys. I had like different Facebook groups and I had all this stuff. And in the book writing process, I'm working with a media company and we're like, "Okay, we got to like dial it back. Libby, you have too many. It's too many things. It's the same thing diversified too many places." So we've shut down some of the Facebook groups. We are the Fearlessness podcast turned into the Libby Delusion podcast. Morning dates are going to be over here. We have a whole thing we're rolling out. We're super excited for the Libby Delusion podcast. We have like fire starter conversations. I said I want the fire starter song to like intro that. And then we're going to have Q&As. We're going to have some guests. But I'm super excited. It's all going to be around life, business, marriage, all of it.
Because it's all interconnected.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah.
And if it's not, like, if you're looking for this, like, work-life balance, it doesn't. It exists, but not in the way you think it does. And that's why you can't find it, because you're chasing something that doesn't exist. It exists, but it's more about alignment and energy management than it is anything else. There's no work-life balance. And there's no work-life balance. It's an integrated life. And how do we achieve the integrated life? We're building a life that we never want to retire from. And when you realize your business is part of that life that you never want to retire from, you look at it differently. You manage it differently.
Yeah.
So we're excited. So I just wanted to kind of give you guys that update of like what's happening to this podcast. We're still going to do it every Saturday, but it's going to, the recordings, if you want to jump over there and listen to them, we're going to categorize it like date mornings, family, business, strategy, Q&A, fire starter.
And so it's also, and so it's also great if you catch in like halfway through and you can only like take 10 minutes out of the conversation live. It's great to be able to jump in and have it running in the car. If it's something that really drives you or, excites you is what we talk about here with real stuff.
And all we do here is give experience share. We're just giving experience, what we've learned. I feel like I finally got to the age to where I could share what I've learned. I've shared, like, I've learned enough lessons. I've spent enough money. I've had enough struggles, enough pain, enough glory to now share it. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. Me and Chris, we were not always great. There were really not great times. There were times of talking about separating or divorcing.
There were many conversations about separating.
But You know what it is, though, at the end of the day, it's how did you show up during those moments? It's how did we each show up during those hard times? It's not about the great times. It's how did we show up during those hard times? How do you show up during the hard times?
And I was going to say, we're going to tease into it.
I know that it says right on this side, but I changed my hand because I can't drink my coffee because of the mic's in the way.
Let's go ahead and slide that mic out a little bit more. That way it's
okay.
A prettified version here.
Oh, on that. Okay.
Yeah.
We're dual recording, guys.
Yeah.
Dual. When you make it, if you saw the other side of what this looks like, you're going to see like there's all these lights. There's like three cameras. It drives a professional organizer insane. There's all these cables. And I've tried and tried and tried to clean the cables.
If you've ever been on a movie set and you see the beautiful production that happens, and then you look at the other end, you're like, oh my God.
I'll post a picture of the backside here in a minute.
Yeah. But I want to take a step back here. Well, number one is we're going to tease, I think, three things here at some point within the our date morning. That I like to call, they're kind of like the wonder drugs of
life,
really
business, life and business.
And going into that, but first, taking a step back with date mornings and what we're trying to accomplish here, it's not something that's just easy to just dive into and do, and all of a sudden, oh, everything's fantastic because now we're doing date mornings. And no, at first, it took a lot of effort and a lot of digging. Clearing the dirt, let's say.
Yeah, there's some date mornings, guys, where I don't talk. I don't talk for the first 20 minutes. We're just walking.
Yeah.
We're just walking and having coffee, and I'm just taking in the air and thinking. And Chris is probably like, oh, God, what's wrong with her? She's not talking.
No, I've passed that point.
Okay.
And I want to explain why, and this is what I'm getting to, is I would say confidently that the first 100 date mornings that we had still didn't even tap into the amount of depth that we needed to go through as a couple together personally to get to the point that we're at now in terms of absolute clarity and transparency. So I just wanted to at least preface that this is not going to be some magic formula, but the concept of date mornings is continually working on something.
Microtherapy.
It's microtherapy is what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's continually working and chipping away at something and we've talked about this before in previous episodes, but removing that film, that buildup that happens over time of your relationships, and until there is nothing left. And then from that point, you continue to break down whatever does develop. Again, if you're into residential cleaning, you might understand the idea of a deep clean. We had 100 deep cleans before we got to the recurring.
Well, it's just like you can't, like, we had a deep clean the other day. Again, I don't get involved and organize it that much, but because we had a bad week, I was kind of pulled back in, which is fine. Like, I'll tell you guys about my bad week here in a minute. You know, I was watching the chat go. We use Google Chat, and the chat go, and they're like, there was a deep clean and the lady didn't like it. And the cleaner had posted some pictures, and I'm like, for the love of God, you can't get 17 years of dirt off in one cleaning. Ain't gonna happen. I said, and they were all upset. I'm like, no, this is an upsell. It's an upsell. Say, ma'am, oh my gosh, we tried as hard. Here's our before and afters. But you know what? You know, recurring cleaning can get this buildup off over time. Sell. And meanwhile, the salesperson was like, oh God, we have to send somebody back. I'm like, upsell this lady. And that's morning dates. It's like to get down to the surface, the years have built up. I don't know. I'm just going to speak for myself. The years have built up like things you want to say, what they do that pisses you off. Like, do you ever get to the point where like when somebody breathes and you can hear it, it just freaking annoys you? And so you have all that like built up. Not that Chris did anything wrong. It's just like I was not in a good place. And it's like all that built up that you wanted to say, that you should have said, that you kind of pent up, whether it was with him or your kids or your family. It takes that. That's the deep clean. Like that you got, it doesn't come off one time. It's like over time, it's recurring cleaning, it's recurring maintenance. It gets that buildup off. And that's, we're on almost 600.
So I want to say one thing here. And I'm going to give you a gold little nugget is you go in for the deep clean,
mm-hmm.
you upsell, you get the recurring,
yeah.
you get all these, we're going to clean out the fridge. We're going to do the windows. We're going to do everything. Upsell your relationship, upsell that experience that you're having in your date mornings. If it's too much to get off in one go in the first, let's just say 7 days, upsell it and say, you know what? We need to get away and have an actual retreat. We need to go ahead and be in the right environment. Dive in, sit together. Let's do a deep clean of our relationship in the right way, in the right place, so that we don't have to
at the right time.
At the right time. so that we don't have to be exposed
or miserable.
But exposed to the day to day, exposed to the things that are creating buildup and isolation around your relationship.
So I know all you guys on here. I know every one of you. I know you know how to upsell, upsell your relationship.
So,
but here, Chris, I here's the other side of the spectrum. What if my partner doesn't want to be sold? What if they're not interested in buying? What if they don't care? I've been in that relationship where, you know, you can try and try and try. And that was me and Chris for a while too, with this relationship. I tried and tried and tried.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they don't want to be sold to? How do you get your partner, the other person? I'll be honest. I didn't realize how many morning date fans that we really had until we went to a live event. And so many people stopped us to thank us about like how we're sharing what we're doing. And I get private messages. And one of the biggest questions I get is, how do I get the other person on board? How do I get my spouse, my partner on board with working on this with a morning date? Or what if I have small kids? We can use every excuse in the world, every freaking excuse. I have 3 kids, 2 dogs, 4 businesses. And I could pick any one of those for an excuse. So there's 2 different spectrums here. Like, one is, how do I get my spouse on board? Chris could probably answer that. And then how do you, and maybe I could answer to you, like, how do I stop using the excuses?
Yeah. So I just want to say, I think in every event, in every industry that we went to, honestly, there's been numbers of people we didn't even think would be impacted. But again, I think it all circles back to the 3 things that we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another little thing that you got to be aware of, but those 3 things, what does it take to get your significant other, the other person in your relationship, whether it's a close business relationship, a co-owner, or if it's personally a spouse or a loved one, how do you get that to happen?
I think the co-owners are really great. Chris has watched me go through 2 businesses, WooRecruit and the new software that we bought. 2 businesses. He saw me interact with 2 co-owners and how like one really hurt me and the other one was actually really easy.
Yeah.
And so he's been able to see that, a backseat to that, on how you can, you know, even this is an important topic with co-owners of businesses, not just spouses, right? Relationships in business or in life.
Yeah. So the 3 things on how do I get my significant other, my spouse, on board. 3 things that need to happen. And I actually spoke with with one of our employees as well about this. And actually, I'm going to plan on speaking with another one. But the 3 things that need to happen is based around the One Layer Deep framework.
Yeah.
And so the One Layer Deep framework applies to 3 different layers of business, 3 different pillars.
Yeah. So if you guys are going to get really tired of hearing about One Layer Deep, but it's what changed my life. It's what changed our life. It's what changed our business, which changed our relationship, the relationship with my children, with my parents, who's on here. go ahead, Chris.
But the first one is, and this comes from both sides, and I'll give you right now the loose explanation from how it relates to relationships and personal. Is number one is perception. It's the information that's around being able to sense and feel. Again, I use the words energy, if any of you resonate with that, but it's the perception or the sense of really understanding what's around you. If you close your eyes and listen, of course, your senses are heightened. You can hear more. The same thing goes in terms of perception with understanding to a full degree, full scope of what's going on around you. Perception of how others are feeling. This is really where empathy comes in.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say and pin down, but perception needs to happen on, to be honest with you, both ends, both sides.
I have some great examples of perception from this week.
Yeah.
Or from the last like month, probably.
Yeah.
Of misalignment of perception from my standpoint to the, let's just use an employee standpoint. Perception is huge.
Mm-hmm. And so perception is really, I want to use this in more technical terms to help you guys figure it out, but it's collecting the information. It's the way that your brain perceives the world. It's the way that your brain perceives a situation. That's number one. Number two is alignment. It's how do we understand the information and really kind of organize it?
Yep. It's my favorite word.
Yes.
Organize it.
Alignment.
Alignment. Yep. Yeah. That's huge in, you know, it took me a while to kind of drill down like what we do and how we do it and put it into words. But like We're launching. I pushed back the launch of the One Layer Deep program to help, people in business with families or spouses want to scale, want to add multiple verticals. We pushed it back a little bit, one, because the book is like consuming my life.
In a great way.
In a great way. No, it's in a great way. And we pushed it back a little bit, and we're still refining like that One Layer Deep program, because as you learn and you get deeper and deeper and deeper, you figure, wow, I chose the wrong word for that. That wasn't the right word to explain what I was trying to get to. But I'm, when let's talk about like just, how does that play into getting your spouse on board?
Alignment.
Alignment. I'll be honest, I married my complete opposite. My first marriage, Chris probably so tired of hearing me talk about this, but I talk about it, and we were the exact same, and we were like freaking gasoline on a fire.
Yeah.
We were the exact same. Me and my ex, his name's Billy, my oldest son, his name's Billy. We were like gasoline on fire. We were like, it wasn't good. And what it had ended up is I ended up being with someone that was just like me. And so there was no balance. There was no alignment at all. We were both moving too fast in separate directions. It's like having two visionaries, right? Two owners of a business trying to run the same business. Ain't ever gonna happen. You've never seen two CEOs of a company.
And your life is a business.
And your life is a business, yeah. And it's not gonna happen. And it was just like gasoline on a fire. And when we split, there's that whole story behind that, but we ended up to be better apart than together, right? And I had to learn that. And then when I married Chris, or I started dating Chris, I ended up the total opposite person from me. But then that caused a different type of alignment.
It caused
It caused
misalignment.
misalignment. It caused misalignment. And I'm not gonna say it was easy, but it was working towards it. And then for me, I think one of the ways I helped him get on board with certain things and us going in the same direction, because we don't always just do what I want to do, is really learning how to communicate, like to next level of how, like, because I could communicate all right, but it didn't sound pretty when it came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Next level, and just having more patience, and so that I could get that alignment through, like, out. This is what I'm trying to do. Here's what I would like to do. And it helped me with my kids too, because I was a horrible, we talked about this in the one of the other ones. I was a horrible parent to Billy, little Bill. We call him little Bill. And I caught Chris doing that this week. I was frustrated. I didn't know how to communicate. The business was consuming me, or my career was. And I wasn't the greatest parent to him. And I make up for that now. We talk every day. But for me, it was from one relationship to the other, was noticing that we were the exact same with this relationship, and with this one we're the exact opposite. And oh my God, I have to learn how to communicate better to create that alignment in this relationship, because we had total misalignment.
Yeah. So that being said, and you asked me about the question about how do you make this happen in a relationship to get that alignment, to start that process. And it's twofold. You have to use and work through the practice of one layer deep in the concept. We haven't even gotten to the third thing yet, but using the practice of one layer deep first from yourself to then tee off the next flow of another one layer deep practice in your relationship, for your relationship, for the other person that they have to go through themselves.
You can't make somebody do something. You have to do it first.
But that's the reason why there's two iterations, there's two cycles to the one layer deep concept in trying to apply it to somebody
So
else.
this is true for employees and owners too.
So
Two sides.
we talked about perception, of understanding, again, the senses of a situation, of an environment, of a relationship. Then we talked about alignment. This is in getting connected and organizing thoughts in the right way, at the right time, to the right person. And then there is the third one, which is it's priming. This is where this without priming, without this delivery, without this execution, nothing will come from it. Because you need to start the process of, and I'm going to say this, start the process of healing the relationship from the place that you can right now. Because again, like Libby said, is that you cannot change somebody's mind. You cannot change what they're willing to do. If you tell them something, the human instinct is to pull back because it's not within their control.
I want to explain to people what priming is, so when you're ready, let me know.
Okay. But it's, again, human nature is if you tell somebody to do something, you pull back because it's not within your control. But again, it's priming because you need to get them teed up to work through the process themselves of understanding the one layer deep concept, the framework of perception, alignment, and then priming again themselves through the entire relationship. And so that being said, is I said that there was another element to it, which needs to happen for the relationships from those three. And that is what we talked about in the last Date Morning episode, which was putting the cards on the table.
Oh yeah, I love that. I've been putting cards on tables everywhere.
Putting the cards on the table.
And I'll walk away.
Without expecting anything in return. Again, with full alignment, you have to put the cards on the table, prime them, and put them on the table without expecting anything in return. Because if you expect something in return, that's as good as you telling them what to do. And we know what happens when we say that, is that people retreat. And then there's this friction that, again, starts to build up.
Especially hard-headed people. They're like, you can't tell me what to do. Like, you know, so can I explain priming?
Yes.
So for many of you, maybe this is not a commonly used word, like priming. Priming, and I want to explain it to you, and we're all successful people do this, and this is what all successful people are telling you to do. So priming is a mindset reference, and it refers to the process of preparing your brain to think, feel, and behave in a certain way by exposing it to specific stimuli or experiences, right? So you're trying, and so I want to explain morning routines. Morning routines, like Miracle Morning, the book, you're priming yourself for a great day. By doing the morning routine, right, you're visualizing your goals, you listen to music, maybe you meditate, maybe you journal, you're priming yourself. You can prime yourself for confidence, like the hype up yourself. Listening, you're priming yourself by listening to upbeat music, getting yourself in the mood, like maybe you have a hype song. Problem solving when it comes to priming. You can, let's just say if you had to fire someone, everyone says, well, practice it. Write down what you want to do. Write down your, like what you're going to say. You're priming that action by thinking it through and gathering your thoughts for the outcome you want. So when we are talking about priming, we're all doing it right now. Like that's why like Miracle Mornings is so successful. All you're doing is you're teeing yourself up for a great day by priming your morning through these positive little steps that you do.
So, and that's actually a great point. In more than a number of days this week, I've actually taught certain people to prime on priming. So for someone for our sales, I talked through the concept of priming and the psychological side of it, which is things like taking a pencil. And if you take your pencil and put it inside the back part of your mouth and your teeth, and bite down and hold it for 10 seconds. What's going to happen is that it's going to force your muscles into a motion of smiling. And by doing that and holding it, you're actually going to put yourself in more of a positive mood and encourage a more positive engagement, a positive outcome. I did this again with Yaya as well. She had a little bit of a breakdown.
Yesterday? No.
2 days ago.
Oh. Sure.
I think it was early dinner, but I went through this exercise with her, and by the end of it, she was laughing.
Yeah.
And so it's priming is huge. It's essential to tee up the situation.
Whether you're trying to get someone on board, like your husband or your spouse or your wife, or an employee, right? Someone on the team that you want a certain outcome, you want them to achieve something, you see something in them that they don't see in themselves. Priming goes into that.
Yeah. So I'd love to get
back to the question.
Yes. So back to the question of how do I get my spouse on board? It's very loose, but again, it goes along with one is perception. I don't think we dug too deep into this, but it's intention. It's really understanding the situation, both sides at its core, to know what you're coming into, know what you're stepping into. It's collecting and gathering that information, that the senses, the emotions, everything, so that you're not coming into it with a half-baked idea or half-baked perception. And so it's one is just making sure that that's true. The second thing is aligning. This comes with openness, transparency. It comes with being vulnerable and using statements like, I feel.
Man, one of the best things that EO taught me was no theories, no sharing something I read in a book, no sharing. And if it is, say, I read this in a book. don't say, you should, blah, blah, blah. And EO taught me, like, experience share. You can only share if you have experience. Like if you've been through that, you shared your experience, you don't tell someone what to do. I think that helped our marriage tremendously.
And you ended up leaving the cards on the table, whether I was ready to pick them up or not. It took probably a year for me to finally pick up the cards.
And you know, for the business owners out there, sometimes you can be a little bit more forward than your spouse. There's, you know, there's the, there's the, as How I Met Your Mother would say, there's the reacher and the settler. There's someone that's just kind of like always okay, like, and there's someone's always reaching, like wants more, is out trying to find more, and then there's someone that's just maybe, you know, happy the way it is. But that sometimes misalignment, that doesn't mean that the person that's just kind of content won't do other things for you or because you want to do them, which is okay. But yeah, I laid cards down on the table. Do you remember any that I did? I remember some.
Oh, there's plenty. Doing things independently, totally okay if you want to come, but I'm going
I'm
anyways.
going anyways. Like, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna go salsa dancing. You can come if you want. And he's like, no. And I went ahead and left. You
I didn't say no, but I didn't say yes.
didn't say yes. You didn't go at first.
Right.
And he's like, you went. And I'm like, well, yeah, I wanted to go. And so I always wanted to salsa dance. His sister is one of the best, like most amazing salsa dancers ever. And I used to hang out with her all the time and just watch. And I'm like, I want to do that. It's so like pretty and it looks like a story unfolding. And so I signed up to go to classes and I asked Chris, I said, hey, I want to go. And he didn't say yes or no. So I went ahead and signed up and went to class. And he was surprised that I went. I don't know if you were surprised that I went actually without you.
I mean, I kind of expected it,
Okay.
but no. But here's the deal, is, and again, this goes with laying the cards on the table. It's priming the situation. It's priming the execution. Laying the cards on the table is not coming out of a place of spite, because yes, you did that,
Oh, I did that a lot,
and
guys.
so.
Oh, I was so passive aggressive.
But here's the deal, though, is that with the wrong person, this will destroy a relationship. With the wrong intention. But again, this is the concept of laying the cards on the table. It's without spite, without expectation, without forcing an outcome. If you lay the cards on the table and are truly open with yourself and open with the idea of what's to come, then I think it works, because people will know when you let that guard down, when you let that closeness, or that, closed off. If you get rid of that, people will feel it. People will sense it. And that's that first beginning of perception. It's that first time when people start to understand or start to get what's going on with the situation. And I think that's the first leading indicator of that second revolution of the one layer deep. Is first it has to happen with you, because you can only control yourself. You can only control your uptime, not somebody else. And through laying the cards out on the table in a fully transparent way, it helps to open up that perception, that feeling, to know that there's nothing else left aside from what's here.
Let me tell you what, the power in really working on yourself in this way and going through these motions of like, did I prime them? I feel that we suck at this sometimes, especially like when something happens with a person or an outcome and you're like, what the heck? Well, I didn't do a good job of teeing it up. Like I didn't prime for the outcome. Or if we're not aligned, like where did the misalignment happen? When did it start? 'Cause there was alignment at one time and where did it fall off? It's a really interesting thought process to go through. And then the ex sorry, the perception. You know, working and we shouldn't care what people think about us, but you have to sometimes. You have to care. Like, perception is how do they perceive the situation versus how I'm perceiving the situation. It's not what they literally think about me personally.
Objectively,
Yeah, it's
not
objective.
emotionally.
And when you can work on this, and then you can then now with like confrontational issues, say negotiations, deals, communicating, you can then have the confidence to leave those cards on the table and walk away and know that you like you did everything right, you teed it up, you set it up, here cards on the table, and man, you walk away like confident, head high of any situation, like whether I wanted to take salsa classes or like you know, you were working with one of your employees or even your kids. You can put those cards on the table, and it's amazing how people actually are attracted to that. They come back to it.
And I'm going to give an example, is the last three people that I fired from WoodRecruit. I worked through this practice of laying
Poor
the cards.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but laying the cards on the table. And again, with the fullness, openness, and transparency in what the real deal was, what the real situation was, and without any emotional anchors, I laid the cards out on the table and stepped away with grace in the way that I led the conversation and talked about it and expected nothing in return aside from acceptance.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
In one meeting, again, face-to-face on virtual Zoom, not through text, not through email, not through whatever, but face-to-face, somebody actually spoke to me and said, I can't believe I'm so impressed that you're so calm about this. And it actually made them more calm about the idea of letting go. It made them more calm about the idea of stepping away because I fully explained and laid out the cards the way they were meant to be, in terms of aligning their fire, letting them move on, letting them rise back up to what their true passion is. Things like this that really hard unless you really understand yourself again, have that deep level of perception about what's going on around you. It's not just you.
No. And an example from like this week, we had an employee issue at Organize It. And I was, you know, we had a technician put in her 2 weeks. We decided to go ahead and just like let her go, but we'll give her 2 weeks severance. And there was already issues. There was already chatter of her like starting her own company and like stuff like that. But where Chris said he addressed it and talked about it and it ended well, where in Organize It, we let that situation go on too long to where it didn't end very well at all because the perception was misaligned. There was no alignment. And when it ended, it didn't end well. And I had to come in yesterday and kind of lay the cards on the table because this employee was not rational, not calm, not nice. I saw that, you know, from the office's standpoint with Organize It, we didn't address it soon enough. And if you don't address it soon enough because you can't communicate or you struggle with that or like it's not your jam, that typically is when we let it go too far. And then it creates this feeling of misery, like misery. And it feels like the drama and the chaos. And so if you have to ask yourself, like, do I let things get too far because I don't want to really create that alignment? Or do I not want to have that conversation? Or do I not want to prime? Because somewhere in that relationship with that cleaning technician, they were a great employee for 3 years, or I'm sorry, for probably two. And probably for the last year, there was misalignment. And, you know, I'm going to meet with my office, and I've already shared, like, where did that happen? We stopped paying attention to it. And we stopped like priming, or we stopped really creating that alignment. And somewhere down the line, that relationship broke. It just broke. And and again, it could be something we did. We don't know. Like, we need to talk about it and look at it. Or it could be a life change in their life, which then changes the alignment. She's no longer aligned with our values or our expectations. But again, we saw it. I know we saw it, but we chose not to see it. Because when you think back, you're like, oh yeah, that happened. Oh yeah, then that happened. Oh, and they did say that. Oh, and there was gossip over here, but there's no alignment.
Yeah. And so I want to bring up a major point here, and it is that majority of people live in a world of cause and effect. I talked about this the other day with one of our employees. Most people live in a world of cause and effect. And what that means is that they're only able to understand and reason around what has happened in the past, but they're not able to understand what preceded that, what happened before that point of the cause and effect. The best way that I can explain this is there's the id, the ego, and the superego. The ego.
Chris sounds so smart.
But ego is based on reason, and that is living in the world of cause and effect. Mm-hmm. We then have the superego, which is all about morals and what really runs us and drives us. But then there's the id, which is something that is really hard to touch. It's more based around instinct, about our, let's say, intuition or reactions to things. And that's the place that we need to start to really open up to. It's the iceberg. It's under what's underneath the water that we need to start looking at in terms of a situation. This is where perception comes in that most people can't touch. But if you can unlock this, it makes a world of difference. And so with everything, with relationships, with hiring, firing, everything.
Marriage. Kids.
The idea of perception and alignment and then priming is all based on your ability to take yourself from the world of cause and effect and pull it back to understanding what's underneath of it all, the root of it, in terms of where did this first start?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would love, like, I want to meet. And it's like, when did this break? Like, and organize it. Cause it created like a kind of a miserable week. And it's funny because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And then you think back and you're like, oh, there were signs. There were signs. And so like, but when did the relationship break? Like, when did the lying start? Another employee lied to me the other day, or it's, you know, withheld truth. And to me, that's the same thing as lying.
It's being percepted to that shift.
Uh-huh. And it's that perception is now shifted for me. And it's one of those things when does that happen? I said, I want to create a lie detector test to run everybody through. I'm like, when does that happen? Because when that happens, that it's broke. Like something broke beyond that, like way before that, you know. But to go back to like spouses and how does this work with like, how do I get my spouse on board? How do I get my kids on board with my business, right? Or my family? And first, like Chris said, it's yourself. You have to work on yourself because, you know, what happened to, like, just say organize the employee. I could blame them all day long. I could be mad at them, but I'm actually coming back to say like, hey, where did we go wrong? Why did we let it get this far? Why didn't we see it earlier? Are we not having those conversations? What did we not hold up our end of the deal? Like, I don't know. I'm just asking these questions because I want to learn so that I can do better next time. Right? I can prevent this from happening next time. So I want alignment in the situation and in the relationship. And what we did. And it's the same thing with our marriage. Like, we created such alignment that, but I had to work on myself because the way I communicated was not the way I should be, the way I should not be talking to my husband. And I wasn't disrespectful. I was just direct. And that because the way he is, the directness, he took it to heart.
But now I appreciate it.
Now he appreciates it.
How does that work?
I don't know. And so, you know, these are big things, but it's at the end of the day, it's like working on yourself, right? Priming is huge. We all do it. That's why we listen to motivational things. That's why I have quotes on the walls. That's why we have morning routines. And no one calls it priming, but that's what it is. It's priming to set yourself up for a successful outcome. And then alignment. I think alignment, Chris, is our word of the year.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I want to talk back to the situation with one of the technicians, but go ahead first.
No, alignment. I'm seeing misalignment. And so if you see chaos, customer complaints, issues with your kids, like in your, like, is everyone aligned right now? I don't think there's such, that's what you need to ask yourself. I do not think there is such thing as over communication. There's no such thing. Like yesterday, people that work in our companies know that, like, if I'm like, well, Libby dropped the F-bomb yesterday in the meeting, like, oh, watch out. And I don't ever cuss at no one. I cuss out of passion. But sometimes I share too much. But I'd rather share too much and my staff understand where I'm coming from than to not share enough and they have to guess where I'm coming from or how I'm feeling. Or like, Chris is funny. She's like, let's just leave her alone today because she's not having a good day. But he knows that because I'm very open about it.
And again, I cannot stress this enough, is with that, the one layer deep framework, I don't want to vomit all over you about it, but... It's the perception. She was in a different cycle of this framework of this practice of priming and aligning. But I was in the state of perception, meaning that I was able to pull what she was putting out and shift because of that. And because we're always in this continuous cycle, there's never any film, any walls, any barriers to break down. It's always eliminated because it's this continuous cycle.
Yep. Yeah, and it's always work because no matter where you're at, it's next level, right? It's next level alignment, understanding, it's next level mastery. But you know, I think Chris, those tips were great on like, if I have a partner or a spouse, how do I get them on board with some of the things I'm trying to do? And it's first, you got to understand yourself. You got to work through those three phases. And then, but the other thing is you got to actually do it. You got to actually do it. you got to actually, if you're going to put the cards on the table and walk away, you got to actually walk away. So many people are scared to walk away.
Or they're looking back.
Right? You can't look back when you walk away. Like, you know, the salsa classes, I said it. I asked him, he didn't answer me, and I still did it, and I still went.
With full focus.
I had a great time, and I came back, and I was like, oh my God, it was so great. And he's like, who'd you dance? You don't need a partner. Like, you just rotate with who you dance with. And then he's like, oh my God, a guy's dancing with you.
but it was the open, again, in the idea, because it's very vague, is putting the cards on the table and not looking back. What that meant in your situation, and I know this is loose with the salsa, but putting the cards on the table, you went out, you did your thing. Not looking back for you was embracing the moment and sharing the moments after the fact. And that is the element of openness, transparency, alignment. Not looking back meant that you were openly sharing about it without anything in return or without withholding anything because there was some sense of resentment or whatever.
And that's the old version of me would have not talked to him for 3 days when I got back and not shared anything because of like resentment.
But because she was open about it and because she, again, laid the cards on the table and did not look back, because she shared her experiences without withholding anything, is that I was able to pick up, again, this is where it first kicks off. I was able to pick up that perception of the reality of how you were feeling without any layers, without any borders between us. And so I was able to start to make that connection to say, huh, there might be something here.
And so, you know, a big thing that happened this week is I gave Chris my spot, and I sit in the SAS, Dan Martell SAS Academy, in boardroom. And I don't know if you guys follow me. I fought to get in that room in 2022, I think, or 2021. I can't remember, where I went and traveled for like 21 days speaking to try to get enough revenue to qualify to get in the group. And I was one of the first girls he let in that group too. And not let, that qualified to get in that group. Software is very, very male dominated. And I, this week, just gave my spot to Chris. Why? Why did I do that? I do these things. I go on these trips, and when I come back, I share about the whole thing. Like, oh my God, it was amazing. We did this. We rappelled off a building. We did like a meditation, like a 2-hour guided meditation. Like, we learned that. I learned this in sales. And like, and because I shared, he all of a sudden said, I have FOMO. Like, I want to do that too.
And it, by the way, it wasn't something that I was withholding. It wasn't something that I was not saying. Because I always celebrated, I was genuinely excited for the mm-hmm. things that you do to the fullest. And I was, again, open about the idea that I want to do these things eventually too.
Yep. And when I first joined, it was founders only, right? Founders only. And so Chris says now, to me, he is a late founder. Right. He operates now like a founder or an owner. He's there was a better word than late founder. I called it something else, where you didn't necessarily found the company, but now you operate like you're a late founder. I think it was a late founder. And so when I joined it, he actually said, I asked him, you know, did he want to come into boardroom? And he said, no, I'm not ready. Like, the room is intimidating, like, to walk into. You're just like, oh my God. And now he's ready. And so, but I'm leaving and he's coming. And so that's how you get him on board. Like, so I did it and I shared it and I was excited about it and he supported me in it. But because he saw the growth in me, he also now seeks that.
Not because of a FOMO or anything in you specifically, but it's the idea of I can be on my own journey, my own goals and ambitions separate from you, but still it's full circle.
Mm-hmm. It's full circle. So super excited for Chris getting into that. So we're gonna see exponential growth from Chris being in boardroom, and excited for that. And then I'm moving on from a lot of things I have to keep evolving, to keep growing. And it's the old me would have been sad, would have been have like, oh my gosh, I can't leave, like, you know. And I'm in a season of I want peers, want connections. I don't want learning. I don't need any more learning. I don't need, not right now. That's not the season in my life I'm in. I don't need any more courses. I need support from peers. I need to collaborate. I need to mastermind. Like, I'm leaving tomorrow. This is like goals in life, right? Your friend says, hey, you want to go to Chicago for a day? And I looked at Chris. I said, Chris, I'm going to go to Chicago for a day. Are you okay? Like, are you okay with that? I didn't say, are you okay with that? He's like, yeah, sure, go.
Go for it.
So I'm going to Chicago tomorrow for a day to just hang out with a business owner to collaborate. And that's the season I'm in right now. I need more collaboration. I don't need more learning right now. Like, I've paid so much for learning and I have so many courses and my drive is full of so much like content and learning that I'm in the season of, I just want to build relationships right now. Like, I'm seeking to just like build great relationships, because through those relationships, I will have another level of growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm dropping out of everything. Pretty much dropping out of everything. But it's been great. And you see that. And so if you feel like you're stuck, this is a whole different topic from like, if you feel like you're stuck, whether you're the spouse of a person, you are the business owner, you are the kid, look around your room. How long have you been in there? Like, have you sought the next level? If you're not seeking the next level, you're not going to get anywhere. Like, look at your calendar, look at your bank account. What are you spending your money and your time on? Is it the same crap that you've been doing? Or is it like new stuff, next level, other people? Like, as much as I love BNI, I was in BNI for years. I worked for BNI. I don't ever say that. I forgot. I worked for BNI for 5 years. I was a director consultant, worked for BNI, coached other cleaning company, not cleaning company, coached other businesses. And I loved it. But there's an evolution to everything. And if we're sitting in that room and then we're mad because we're like, look at her, look how fast she's growing, look at what she's doing. You can't be mad if you're still sitting in the same room, for the love of God. Like, you just can't be mad. And that's not even being aligned with yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great topic. I'm excited for Chris going into boardroom. I'm excited for myself as well. I don't know what I'm doing, but excited for the future. Anything else we want to talk about?
Oh gosh. That was a pretty loaded conversation. The only thing I wanted to say was that it's great to learn and consume and understand knowledge and things like we're doing right now, is to understand a concept or to digest it and understand it is one thing, but to actually apply it is a completely different thing. So what I want to do is at least extend the offer is that if you're having trouble making that shift from, knowledge into action, DM me and just, I'd love to just chat and have a conversation. Not that anything will come from it. Again, I'm going to leave the cards on the table. Whether you pick them up or not is totally cool.
Yeah. I love that. That's great, Chris. Thanks. Chris is another level of smart. I'm like more street smart. Chris is, I always say he's like more book smart. Sometimes he'll talk to me and I'm like, wait a minute, can you say that over in like ninth grade English? Can you say that? Dumb it down just a little bit. So, you know, I love that with the cards on the table. And if you guys ever have questions, you know, I answer all my DMs. So you can always ask me. If you comment on a Facebook comment, I might miss it because we're getting into the hundreds of comments a day on my profile, but not the DMs. So DMs are like the new inbox, guys. I don't even check my text messages, but if you DM me, I see it. So the one thing I want to leave you guys with is that at the end of the day, for growth, for anything, whether it's your marriage, growth with your children, growth with your employees, here's my suggestion to you. You throw all that other shit out the window, like every course, because we want to go and buy, we want to hire more people, we want to buy more courses, we want to have more processes, we have more playbooks. None of that's going to do anything for you until you do you first, right? You first, and then everyone comes next. And that's the misconception we all have in business and as mothers and as fathers and as parents and just as people. It's like, we have to do everyone full. Let me take care of everyone else first. Like that whole, if you're on a flight, put the oxygen on your kid first. Screw that. I'm putting it on me first. And then I'm putting it on them, because if I die, then no one's going to help them. And it's totally the backwards. It's totally miswired how we think as humans. We have to take care of everyone else first and then us. That's not true. It's you first. There's no course. There's no freaking playbook. There's no anything that's going to help fix the broken you. And if your business is broken, it's always back to you. It's always back to you. It's always back to you. That you got to do you first. Like, just do you first. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to do us first because, one, it's boring. Two, it doesn't feed your ego.
And three, it's scary.
It doesn't feed your ego because feeding my ego is like, let me go answer someone on Facebook. Let me go help them. Let me give, give, give. That feeds our ego. And then the third is it's scary. Like, it is scary to do self-work because we avoid it. We don't like our past. We don't like certain things. We don't like ourselves. I mean, I lived with a self. This is a whole nother topic. I lived with a self of me, a version of me that I did not like at all. I was your typical mom, overweight, ate salads, was starving all the time, was always on a diet, like, and always gave to everyone else. And then if there was anything left, I'd give back to myself. But there's typically nothing left. Like, after you have three kids and a husband and, like, I already had a business, there's nothing left. And I was a miserable, miserable, unhappy person for a while. I was still a nice person. I still gave. I still helped. I just helped too much. I wasn't even helping myself. So screw the whole put the oxygen mask on your child first. Put it on you first. And then put it on yourself or put it on them.
And that's where we talked about thinking of your life as a kingdom is typically in that center ring. You have the castle, you have royalty, and that is you. You have to think of yourself as royalty first. And then after that, you have, let's say, your higher ranking people. And that is those that are next closest to you, which is typically family, kids, everything like that. But you have to protect royalty first, which is you. And then you can start to branch out and take care of the next area, the next place, the next group of people, again, people that are most important to you.
So one layer deep can be, it's a mindset, right? My goal is it's a movement. It's a mindset to help you work through personal, business, family issues in a different way of thinking, right? With a different way of thinking to help you get to your ultimate goal. Like, but here's the thing, if you don't even know what your ultimate goal is, like, that's why it always has to start back to you.
Yeah.
You don't even know where you're going. I was coaching somebody the other day and they were like, well, you know, I can't, I no one's like working in the same direction and I feel like we're working against each other. And I'm like, well, what's the goal? She goes, well, I don't have a goal. And I'm like, what's your goal? Well, I'm happy right now, she says, that like the revenue's good. No, but what's your goal? And it's like so hard for some people to fathom, like, a goal isn't revenue necessarily. Like, we were taught that in business. Write down your business goal. No, what's your goal? If you died today, what do you want people to say about you? Like, that's like, what's the goal? What's the end result? And a lot of people really struggle with saying it out loud because either they think they don't deserve it or they're scared they're going to fail or not reach it. But if you can't do that, you can't do that self-work to even write it down or know what it is, there's no way that other people are going to help you get there. There's no way other people are going to help you get there. The only way I can get anything done is I have great people. I have great people and organize it. Like, with the whole issue with this week, I'm reflecting on asking these questions because it's my job to coach the office to make sure they see these things. So I didn't do my job. That's the only reason I'm asking the questions. It's like, hey, how could we prevent this for next time? I have great people in all the companies and WooRecruit and SellConvert Clean. And that is the only way that I can get them to achieve what I'm trying to get to is because I've written it down and they now know why they wake up and come to work every day.
Full alignment.
It's full alignment, but it goes back to you. Like, if you can't even write the goals down, you're going to struggle with having people help you get there. And this is why I can tell you right now, you're overwhelmed, you're tired, you're burnt out, and it feels like your office is working against you. It's because you don't even know where you're trying to go. Sit down and let's see. Being a $2 million company is not the goal. That's not the goal. That's chasing revenue. The goal is much deeper than that. It's like, why are we scrubbing a toilet every day? Why are we power washing a house? Why are we cleaning gutters every day, right? Chasing revenue, employees aren't going to just help you chase revenue. So if you feel burnt out, overwhelmed, you probably don't have the goal written down, the vision.
And I'm going to say the same with family and relationships as well.
Oh, yeah. To get the kids on board, to know like why I don't do certain things anymore, they had to know. They have to know what the vision is.
And I'm not talking about vision of the company. I'm not talking about vision of business.
No. The vision of our life and our future and how we want to live, like what we want to do. What does 10 years look like for Austin or Billy or Yaya? And the same thing with Chris. Like, he used to think I was a freaking nut job. And he hated hearing about the company at some point because all I was doing was also dumping negativity on him. All the problems, all the issues. And it gave him anxiety, and he wasn't even involved at the time with the companies. And he hated to hear about them. Mm-hmm. But now that there's a goal, like there's a empire that we're building where it's all cohesive, right? Every company has a reason. Every child in our family has a place that they're helping. They feel a part of it. You know, everyone feels a part of something now.
And we keep priming the next big thing. We keep priming the idea of there's something more, there's something next, there's something coming.
I have another thing. It's not coming until 2026. I have another thing. Because again, what is the goal? And, you know, love that, you know, and this takes work, and it ain't going to happen in one day. It ain't going to happen in one setting. I wrote a vision 3 years ago that broke me and Paul up, right? But it was a great exercise. Me and Paul left on great terms. I love Paul. But if we wouldn't have gotten alignment, it would have been horrible. Absolutely. We'd have fought. We'd have not be friends. Me and his wife still talk on Facebook and Messenger. Like, but when we both did a vision, and what we saw was we both wanted to get to the same place. The goal was the same, right? Which is have a great company with great profit, great culture. It's the dream. But how we got there, because our vision was so detailed, didn't align. It didn't align. And that's why we decided to part ways. Because the way I wanted to get there was a completely different way of how he wanted to get there. And that's why when you just say, I want to be a $2 million cleaning company, it's so superficial. It's just like, it's superficial. How you get there is the vision. And that's why it creates alignment with like your spouse and your children. And like my mom, she works and organizes it. She's probably like, what the hell is my daughter up to now? Like, I ain't buying another business. Oh, we're launching this. Oh, we're going to do Kids That Clean. And she's probably like, literally, you're crazy. She's on here watching. I mean, she probably thinks I'm crazy. But like sharing the vision and talking about it and creating alignment, her and like Marcy and Gabby can get behind me to help support the other companies that also help us get there.
Laying the cards on the table.
Yeah. And it's just interesting to kind of work through, because when I was that business owner, it says, I want to be $1 million. It didn't do nothing. My kids didn't understand. Chris wasn't involved at that time yet. You still were in audio. And no one understood why I was trying to do this. No one understood certain things. And when you really create like bigger picture, and I'm now like creating an ecosystem within the cleaning industry, not residential specific, but cleaning, and cleaning is giant, that I can leave, right, a lasting impact and change the way the world looks at cleaning. And through like our Kids That Clean, and Yaya just recorded the audio for the kids book. When I heard her reading it yesterday, I almost wanted to cry. It was so cute. She's reading it. I was working with her, and then I was priming her, and we don't work well together. And I said, actually, Yaya, do you want your dad to come? Because we were working with the publisher. Do you want your dad to come work with you, sit with you? And she's like, yes.
Seriously, here, cannot stress it. One layer deep, it has to be, again, the cycle of knowing each other.
Yeah, and a six-year-old could tell her mom, yeah, mom, I'd rather have dad work with me because we work better together.
We read together.
We read together often, and I was making her nervous. But her to have the confidence to say, yeah, mom, you're making me nervous. Can I have dad? And I asked her because I could tell. I said, hey, how about if dad comes and I'll leave? And so I left. I left. I went outside. I walked around. Because I knew that I wasn't the right person to work with her for this project. And the second I walked away and her dad came, totally turned into a different little girl. And it's alignment. But she had the confidence to tell her mom, yeah, this is not working. It's great though. But most kids are scared of their parents, are scared to speak up. You know, Austin said the other thing a couple months ago, and he was so scared to tell me. He's like, hey, mom, are you okay if I don't go to college for basketball? And I was like, yes, Austin, I don't care if you even go to college, let alone for basketball. He's like, okay. He's like, well, I was scared you were going to get mad because we've put so much into basketball. And I said, sweetie, I don't care. I just want you to do what you want to do. But again, he's 16 to have the confidence to say all this time and all this money, I don't want to do it no more. It's really powerful. And by me working on myself, creating alignment, priming even myself with morning rituals, routines, expectations, people I surround myself with has done amazing things for my kids.
Because it all came back to him as well, as continuously leaving the cards on the table and priming the idea that it's okay if there's another route for you to take. And eventually he picked up that card.
Yep, exactly. So let's wrap it up. But again, we are, this is our morning date live. These are the conversations me and Chris have while we're walking and talking. And, you know, our morning dates are about an hour. We do 3 miles. It's a 3 mile walk. Coffee, fun. Sometimes there's no talking because there's so much power in silence. And sometimes there's a lot of talking. And sometimes it's business, and sometimes it's personal, and sometimes it's relationship based. But the one thing I can tell you is that all of the tools that I've learned in life and in business, that we've learned how to commingle between the two, and some really great business things and frameworks, we're taking back and applying them to our life and our kids and our marriage, like couples retreats. And then some of the things that we learn in life, like through meditation and silence and energy, we take back to our business. And so I think that's where the power comes from, is that there is no life work balance. It is creating the integrated life that which helps us create kind of that, you said kingdom, or you could call it empire, that you never want to retire from.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. I just want to extend that offer, is if you're left here, you know, slightly confused on the next steps, or at least want to kind of talk through anything personal, any situation, I'm more than welcome. Again, in a very objective way.
Chris is great for objectivity.
If you want to DM me and let's just chat. Again, I'm leaving the cards on the table.
What's the difference between DM and PM?
Private message and direct message.
I think we'll wrap it up.
Bye, guys.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.